You don't have to wait for someone's approval or until you're 40, especially if you want to be a muralist. Don't wait until you are 40 or 50 to start. Like, you can, but it is a very physical job. You are strong now.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is PJ. She is a mural nomad and a brilliant artist. We're going to attach some links in the show notes, and I really encourage you to take a look at some of the work she's doing because it's unbelievable. And PJ, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. I usually start with, how did you even end up in a space like that?
Being a muralist? My hairdresser asked me to paint her daughter's bedroom. Now, I'm not the girliest girl out there. I only go to the hairdresser twice a year. And if you've ever been in a long session with a hairdresser, they keep you hostage on the chair for a very long time when you're a girl. And you ran out of things to say and talk about eventually. And she ended up learning that I was an artist. And at the time, I was only painting canvases as a hobby. I had a full-time job in an office. And after a couple of appointments, she was like, can you paint my daughter's room? Like, she just had a baby, moved to a new house. That was my very first mural. I didn't even know it was called a mural. I just thought it was a painting on a wall.
Wow. And now you teach other people how to do it. You have so much fascinating different options, programs, discovery, self-discovery. And so maybe, can you tell us a bit more about yourself? Why you love to paint so much? Because there's no way that you can do what you do without loving it and having a real hard passion for it.
Yeah, I actually thought deeply about it recently. And I am a double immigrant, meaning my parents moved from Poland to Italy when I was very little. I was only 1 year and a half. And I always felt like the outsider. And my earliest memories of school, which was probably like the equivalent of kindergarten, was me isolating myself in a corner and drawing while the other kids were either playing or having their nap time. And I think in retrospect, it was my coping mechanism to be like, okay, I don't need other people. I just need to be busy and I'm happy doing this. And it was always like a safe space for me. I think I was putting myself in a flow state without really knowing about it. Since an early age. And it becomes really addictive for your nervous system when you have an activity that since a young age saves you from emotional turbulence. I was always considered the arty kid growing up. So when I grew up in Italy has an interesting school system where when you reach high school from 14 to 19, 5 years, you have to choose a type of high school. It's not just a generic one. So I was lucky enough to live in the same region as one of the four RT high schools in Italy at the time. And so I decided to wake up at 6 a.m. every day, take a train for half an hour and go to the big city at a relatively young age to go to this public art school that saved my soul, I believe, because my family kind of fell apart when I was a teenager. But having that school that I really enjoyed actually going to, because it was giving me forceful creative time to paint and draw, has kept me painting and drawing and learning through those difficult years. And then I started living on my own when I was 17, just out of necessity. And art was there to pay the random unexpected bill. Like it always saved me a little bit. And at the age of 19, I made the decision to leave Italy because I just didn't feel like the opportunities there would be the same as for my Italian friends. My name was really much not Italian. And yeah, I made this decision of just, I did an art exhibition actually with a photographer, and I raised enough money. I had a pen pal through my school in Canberra. And I found myself on a one-way ticket to this wonderful country with very little English, which sounds crazy when I look back at it, but I'm very glad I did it. That was nearly 10 years ago. And here in Australia, I painted a little bit once again as a hobby, but I had to study a lot and I had to support my studies, which isn't cheap, as a foreigner student. And I did sacrifice half my luggage for my painting equipment. So I had paintbrushes and paints and whatnot in it. And I painted a little bit, but I felt quite disconnected to my art over the years. And when I landed, I studied business. I got really smart about what I was studying. And when I landed a safe job in corporate, I was running an IT office, and then I got promoted into the sales team. I had a bit of more stability, and I decided to start. Well, I decided. Someone asked me to start teaching painting classes on the weekend. And I thought it was the universe kind of keeping me connected with my art and giving me ways to keep going back to it. And I was like, two people asking at the same time from different venues. And I thought it was really weird that it was all happening at the same time. So I was like, you know what? I must say yes. So this is just someone really wanting me to do this. So I started teaching painting sip classes, learn about business for myself, you know, how to market, stuff like that. And that's probably when I started applying all my business knowledge for myself for the first time ever. And it was going good, but then COVID happened, so I couldn't run workshops. And that's when I took a bit of a step back, and then the first mural commission happened. So that's kind of the full recap.
Wow. So this is definitely your story's your superpower, and you can go back and draw all parts of it. And like right from the time you're a kid, you're painting in the corner, you're drawing, you travel, you decide, who needs clothes? I need my paintbrushes up.
Yeah.
And then even just growing up in Italy, like I'm sure you must have seen the Sistine Chapel and things like that. And so then this lends to your dream and helps build your future dream. And then yeah, the thing with two people at the same time from different areas, that's no coincidence there. That's a sign, right?
I really think so. Yeah. I never thought, never in my life, that I could be a full-time artist. Like, I went to art school, but the goal was then to be a full-time artist. That school was preparing you for going into the academy or going to be like an architect or something. I thought initially when I signed up for this art school that I would end up in a interior designer or architectural role. But then, given the complications in my family and in Italy in general, I realized that I can only manage a small amount of money, and that's either to move myself on the other side of the country or to go to uni. And I chose to go to the other side of the country and try my luck. And that has paid off. My best friend is in Italy, and she chose the other path. She went to be an architect, and she finished two master degrees. We're still very good friends. We live each other's lives sometimes, which is really nice. Oh, I can't hear you. The audio is gone.
Oh, so I was saying, like, that's a beautiful, you guys are living vicariously through each other. And then, yeah, so you're the school is supposed to train you to be an interior designer, but you ended up being an exterior designer.
Yeah, I actually, a funny story. When during the pandemic, I lost the job, the full-time job in the office. They made my whole team redundant, and it was a blessing, because I wouldn't have walked away. I was good at that job. It was very good money. It was the kind of job that I was pinching myself every day that, as a, you know, immigrant, I managed to get without going for like a full university study. I was account manager for a very big Australian firm. So I was like, wow, this is such a good gig. But it was killing my soul. So when the pandemic happened and I got made redundant, I was relieved. And at the time, I was already with my husband. We were, I think, engaged or about to. And he was like, do not rush into another office, where I had offers coming all the time because I was very well connected in that world. And he was like, these people are gonna want you to apply even in a couple of months. Like, I had some painting commissions. He's like, take it easy, do what you like for a little bit, paint more. He was really, really supportive, like extra supportive. And I decided on a whim to sign up for an interior design diploma that's fully paid for, but I've only done one module because I started painting murals shortly after. So it's there. I do want that qualification because I think it's gonna add on to my knowledge and value, because I paint murals inside and outside, and interior murals can really change the vibe of a venue. So I think I want to niche down eventually on something like that. Yeah, so that's coming back full circle, really.
Yeah, for sure. And so painting murals, you have, is it called the 100 Mural Project?
Yeah, so that started So I painted that mural for my hairdresser and I didn't think too much of it. And then a friend asked for another one and I painted it again and I didn't think too much of it. I was painting a lot of portraits. I was doing my workshops. Then the pandemic happened and I just kept painting more portraits. And then here in Australia, I got taken in by a family, a Polish-Swedish family. And this man who was my boss my first year in Australia, he took me in and I call him dad. He walked me down the aisle and his daughter is my best friend. He had a terrible spinal surgery and it went pretty bad that same year that everything was happening. And my husband and I at that time had our first rental with a big backyard. You know, we did the whole thing, getting engaged, getting the bigger house, getting the puppy. And Brisbane was getting some very bad weather, pretty much like now. And this house that we've been living and loving for a year exploded with mold and became unlivable. And there was really little that could have been done immediately. So it just, the universe wanted it, that things coincided. And that's when my dad needed help. So we ended up moving in with him. And this was literally 3 months after we got married, and take care of him in his house while we were deciding what to do with our lives. I was so mentally affected by that whole situation, from like the mold, the risk for our health, and seeing the person I love, like a father, going through hell, that I didn't want to rush into another rental during a rental crisis, by the way. So my husband convinced me to get the van I'm sitting in right now. At the time, we had a much smaller one. But you know, with the dog and everything, I was like, you know what? Let's get a bigger one. Let's convert it. We're not paying rent. We're working a lot. We got this, right? Like the dream of converting your own van. We didn't know what we were doing, like at all. So we bought the van and then nothing happened for another 6 months because my dad had another surgery and we were just working and stuck in the, I was painting murals. I started. So I advertised my first paid mural locally. And the reason for it was that I wanted to stay closer to my dad if he needed help. And he needed a lot of help at the time and didn't have like a paid nurse to be around him all the time. So I made this post in a Facebook community where we usually post when the cat is caped and stuff like that. And I was like, hey guys, I'm an artist. I'm your local artist now. I recently painted some murals. They look like this. Does anyone want one? I just really want a gig near home so I can nurse my dad. And my first paid mural came like this. Like, this lady was like, yeah, you can paint my daughter's room. And I made like a couple of $100 in like 2 days. At the time, I had also accepted a part-time job running a hematology clinic. But even though it was a part-time job, I had to drive all the way to the city. And that was consuming like over half a day. So really that need, that chaos really resulted in me being like, maybe with murals I can actually make decent money and stay in your home. And it was the only thing I could think of because there weren't many businesses around there. And it worked. And then that snowballed very quickly. And within 3 months, I went full time with murals. So that was officially 2 years ago in January. I just had to take the leap because I was helping my dad's business on the weekend. Then I was working for the doctor on the week and painting murals after hours and on days off. And that was so tiring. And I just the money and the happiness I was getting for when I was painting murals versus the other two jobs was non-comparable. And even though it sounded the scariest, option to keep, it was also I knew that was the right one. So then I thought, I'm just going to take $3,000, which I was like, that's going to keep me busy for a whole month. And then I'm going to have a whole month to figure out the next month. And I was like, this can work. And I announced to everyone that I'm going to be a full-time artist. And people were like, oh, okay. Like, they know I'm quite confident. So they were like, if anyone can make it work, it's probably you. And that was, 2 years ago. And then we finished converting the van. And I was terrified because I thought murals were only a thing in the city, like a trend, like a city trend. And we were planning to go up and down the coast of Australia, which has a lot of remote towns. And my husband has a beautiful business. He's actually running an activity now where he teaches children hand-eye coordination activities like juggling, spinning plates, spinning poise. He's a big believer of teaching that flow state from a young age. And he's been running his business for 8 years and he's toured with it before in his smaller van by himself. So the original plan for us as a family was to go up and down the East Coast, taking these wonderful activities together to remote areas and to schools that usually don't have cool activities being brought to them. And we went full minimalistic. We obviously lost a lot of property in that damaged house. So everything that we have is in the van, and very much like my luggage when I moved to Australia, half this van is full of paints and spray cans and stuff to paint funerals. I advertised in our first stop that I just wanted to get rid of some of my leftover paints, and I'm happy to paint murals for free just to keep my portfolio up. And the first community that responded to me was amazing. Everyone was like, do not do this for free. You're too good. I have a job for you. And then another person was like, I have a job for you. And the first week on the road, I painted so many murals. We made so much money. And I was like, wow, okay, this is sustainable, like even outside of the city. And I thought it was luck of the first stop. And then the next stop, the same thing happened. So then we decided that instead of going up and down the coast, we will do the whole lap of Australia, which was quite the initiative. And the Hansen Mural Project came on one of the probably the fourth stops. So when we made it to the next state, so from Queensland to Northern Territories, at that point, I was already a bit reassured that I'm capable of finding a lot of work for myself. And we were also for the first time financially safe and stable. And I got approached by a nurse from the Royal Darwin Hospital. She was the nurse from the mental ward department. And she had a very little petty cash budget. And she wanted me to do a little mural on this massive wall for the inpatients. And so when the families come to meet them in the garden, which is like the therapy garden, they could have something going on other than the landscaping. And I got so touched by the amount of work that they've put in that garden in their free time as nurses or this very troubled city, that I was like, you know what? We can use that little budget to buy more paint. And then I paint like the whole wall. And it was the most challenging mural because Darwin is tropical as it comes. And we were there the first heat wave. So I had cramps. There was no amount of water that would make me feel not thirsty. It was a challenging painting scenario, but it was so rewarding because the nurses were coming out multiple times a day to tell us how amazing it is to have us there, how the patients are getting up in the morning, eager to come to the window and see the progress. And how, for the first time, they seen the patients talking to each other about the mural. They usually did not interact with each other. And it just made me feel so good because up until that point, I was mostly painting murals for private homes. So I didn't get to experience like a community impact. And at the time, I was reading the book, Art, Money, Success by Maria Brophy. Very cool read for any artist. And I got very inspired by a story about the million Buddhas. Apparently there is like an artist painting million Buddhas around the world. And I was like, maybe if I commit to something crazy, like 100 murals, which for a beginner muralist, like I maybe only had 20 under my belt at that point. Maybe I'm going to attract sponsors and maybe I'm going to be able to paint more meaningful murals like this, but without having, you know, to take money away from my family. So that was like kind of the inspiration idea behind it. And I was like, I told it to my husband and my husband was like, well, okay, we were supposed to do this lap to chill and reconnect with nature and explore the country. And now you want to paint like 100 murals and you're going to announce it publicly. And I'm like, I am. But he was supportive. He just wasn't really sure if I was serious. And then I did it. And the rest is history. We are mural nomad now. We had so many publications. There's going to be a book. People are excited to be part of the project. The murals got so big. I got so good at painting. I wanted to paint 100 murals to prove that there is work for artists. To be fully transparent about every job I had to say yes to sustain us on this crazy trip around the country, but also to be able to be in a comfortable position to do mural donations wherever I want. And I am there. I have sponsors. I did quite a few mural donations by now, but I feel like when you do what you love for a living and the money comes, and then you can actually give more of that for free because you don't feel like you feel like you can. You're in a very privileged position where you're like, you know, I'm making money of this, but this is the thing I'll be doing even if no one is paying me. And we need more people like that in the world, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I got a bunch to ask you about all that. First, how is your father-in-law now? Or not your father-in-law, but
he's good. So he's actually a big handyman, and because he had three spinal surgery back to back, he was on Endone, which changed him a lot as a person over the time he was taking it. It's like legalized heroin for medical use, essentially. So it puts you in a very dark place in your head, especially if you don't get out much. But when we started actually building the van, he emerged from his bubble and started working on the van with us, because without him, we wouldn't have built this, by the way. And it just got him out of his depression and got moving again. So he's great. He every now and then joins us around the country and visits us. So it's been, he's good now.
Beautiful. I'm really glad to hear that. So there's a bunch in everything you just said, right? Like, and this is for artists. So I don't know if you ever read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
Yeah.
But she steals this quote from John Burroughs, I believe his name is. He was an American essayist way back in between early 1900s. But the quote is, "Leap and the net will appear." And so it sounds almost like that's what happened. You had to be brave, courageous, and it might not have worked, right? But when you take that leap, it's almost like Paulo Coelho says in The Alchemist, when you want a thing bad enough, the universe conspires to make it happen.
Yeah, totally.
And so then another good point you have there is, I forget where I heard this, but it was like, if you're trying to figure out your purpose or what you want to do in life, ask yourself, would you do it for free? And if the answer is yes, then go towards it. And then as you leap, the net will appear. And I think it's really cool what you did. I don't know if you know who Nas Daily is. I just heard of this guy the other day or a couple of weeks ago. But it's not even a guy. Nas Daily is like a YouTube show. And the guy, I forget his name, he just went away into the, I don't know, the beach, the mountains for like 3 years. And he said, I'm going to go away for 3 years away from everybody. I'm going to just make videos every single day. I'm going to make videos. And his idea was like, I'm going to suck at the beginning, but if I do this for 3 years, I'm going to be amazing by the end of it. And now he's like one of the top 10 YouTubers in the world. So it just is a thing, right? Follow your passions.
Yeah. And exactly how you say, like, if you decide that you're going to do something over and over, you're going to suck at the beginning. But it's the way you're going to improve, if you're just going to put yourself in a position of doing it every day or doing it as often as you can, it's going to have to show The reason I read that book by Maria Brophy is because there's this other quote that says, if you want to be good at something, if you want to be in the top like 1% of the people good at something, read 5 books about it. I only made it to three. I only made it to 3 books about murals or art that I could find. So I have 2 to go. So I'm still not as good as I could be, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, and maybe if the books aren't there, maybe that means you need to write the book if there's only 3.
Yeah, true.
So this is awesome. And so that just even the idea of a 100 mural project, this is for anybody. Like, this is how you're driving your own behavior by doing something like that, by putting out a challenge. I'm going to do this. Now, all of a sudden, you go, okay, well, if I say I'm going to do this, then I'm going to end up doing 100. Yeah, and then that drives your behavior, which is awesome. And I love the way that there's sponsors and everything along the way. And then the other one was about the people in the, was it a nursing home or a hospital where you built the outside in the garden? So that's cool. They're connecting because of you, right? But not even that, you're planting shade so someone else can sit under a tree that you're never even going to see or meet these people. We're talking 50 or 100 years from now. People are going to see that and be like, wow. And that's something really special about that.
It is. Murals are, I never, when I was a canvas artist, I didn't realize how fulfilling painting murals would be. To be honest, I wasn't even noticing murals. They were just a thing that were so out of reach. But for an artist, murals are the best canvas you can ask for, because if you paint just on a canvas, it goes to someone's home. If you're lucky, they're going to look at it every day. Maybe the visitors, friends and family are going to see it if they notice it. But a mural, that's why I like painting bold and bright murals and use all the freaking colors, because I want people to stop and notice it. And my murals, you cannot not notice them. They're punching in the face with all the colors. And I'm obsessed painting sunsets and bright, cheerful stuff, because living on the road, living in a van, living this alternative lifestyle has really reminded me how much I love looking, how good I feel when I'm outside and I look at the sunset. And it made me realize how many sunsets I missed sitting in the traffic and sitting in an office and sitting in a closed home. And then my art, my murals got brighter and more colorful over the past year, like visibly. And I think it's heavily influenced by all the colors I'm absorbing from the outside world by living this lifestyle that I'm not wanting to stop. And I think it's a good way to, it's actually proven that if you surround yourself with happy colors and art in general, your chemicals go all happy and fuzzy. And the public spaces, I worked with a hospital recently. I did a mural donation for them, but they first hired me. And I was surprised at the fact that a hospital was so keen to throw a lot of money at a mural artist. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't even know if I feel comfortable taking your money, because you should have other expenses coming from, I worked in the medical system and stuff. And they're like, no, no, no. We have tons of research to prove how beneficial this is, not just for the patients, but for the families and for the visitor and for staff members. We aim to cover this hospital in murals. And I'm like, wow, this is so progressive. And I asked, I met the director, and he sent me this research that he's using to justify the expenses for murals and art installations with the board. And I'm like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's fascinating, right? And it makes sense, right? If you're just looking at a gray, dreary wall all the time, or if you're looking at something beautiful, like I've seen some of your work, and it's just, wow.
Same goes with schools. Children should be surrounded by beautiful, colorful art. And I've been working a lot with schools as well. And that's another very privileged place to be putting my art in. Painting for children, you have extra responsibilities, even if you paint their bedroom, because they're going to grow up with that image imprinted in their brains forever. I find that very big privilege to do. Sorry, you were asking?
I was going to ask a couple of things. Like, what has been up to date your most challenging project? Or even, like, what are some unique challenges? Because you're, like, it's large. Like, you're working on massive things, right? So what are some challenges that come with that?
I mean, also the challenge is being a mural artist. There, you can try to be as prepared as possible. That's what I try to do with my program, to prepare with their artists. But there's always something you weren't prepared for. So, some challenges can be you don't know actually what's on the wall. The wall could be waxed. The old paint could be something weird that's peeling off. And if someone just sends you a photo of it, you're not able to tell until you're actually there scrubbing the wall. So sometimes the prep can be very challenging. My first cylindric tank, so when I painted the water tanks, my biggest project to date was a very good project, but I felt like I had a bit of a baptism by fire for that size project because that town was 11 hours inland in the middle of the desert, 11 hours away from the biggest city, and 6 hours away from the nearest paint shop or any type of shop that could have sold me anything useful for the project. So I had to be extra prepared, like, or have all the colors figured out. And that was a very big challenge. And then the weather conditions in a place like that were extreme. We went, some days I was painting in a beanie and a big puffy jacket. Some days it was 40 degrees. I was dying painting in shorts. And then some other days we had dust storms, so we had to stop because it was really full on. But the key to that is just extra preparation and having a team. That I was the first time I was leading a team of other two people. We just laughed and were very positive through it all. It was an amazing experience. So I feel the most challenging it is, the most rewarding it is at the end. You just have to make sure that you are prepared, ask extra question to anyone. Like before that project, I got sponsored, which was fantastic because I literally was able to pin the manager of the paint brand that sponsored me to a chair and just shower her with questions for like an hour straight. It was fantastic. And then also I messaged a bunch of other mentors that I have in the industry, so colleagues, and just be like, your top three tips or what you assume is gonna go wrong. Like, what just prepare me for what? You know, I try to get as prepared as possible. And when I finally tackled the project, it wasn't as big or scary. I had a plan, and that's what I recommend everyone to have when something is challenging.
Yeah. And so coming with that, seeing your work, that must attract other artists towards you, and they're probably inquiring, what, how do you do this? How can I do this? Or can you help me in my own work?
Yeah, initially it started attracting established artists that I already knew because when I was in Brisbane and I was getting my first mural jobs quite consistently, I think everyone assumed that I was just very well connected from my previous jobs and that's how I was getting jobs, but I was just doing marketing. And then when I hit the road and I kept painting consistently, everyone was like, wait a minute. How is she finding murals everywhere she goes? So I started getting messages being like, hey, would you mind telling me what's going on? Like, how are you doing it? But then when Mural Nomad became a bit of a bigger brand without too much effort, then I started attracting beginner muralists because I started openly sharing my story and saying, look, I only started painting like yesterday, like on walls. So it's not, you don't have to wait for someone's approval or until you're 40, especially if you want to be a muralist. Don't wait until you are 40 or 50 to start. Like you can, but it is a very physical job. You are strong now. You can paint a lot now. Build that portfolio now that you have the muscles and stuff. So I started, yeah, offering the consultations first and then the program came together. But really, I'm a nerd and I write, this is my fourth smallest scheme on in a year. And I write notes after every project. I write notes for every time I have a chat with a rep, like a product representative. And every time I meet a new artist, I try to connect with all the artists I can everywhere I go. So every time I learn something new, I just gather this knowledge because it's so precious. And then I realized how wasted it is to have all this information just for myself. It really is. So I started sharing more of it on my socials. Like now I hate technology and it's so time consuming. But that's when my Instagram doubled or over doubled, because I actually went from just using it as a pretty portfolio to using it for what actually it is, which is a platform that you can share information on. And I started talking to other artists through it, and the following increased, and then the questions increased, and I needed to find more efficient ways to pass on this knowledge, which was to put together essentially a program.
Beautiful. So as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, all that social media stuff that we don't like to talk about. No hard sell. And if you're interested in this, reach out to PJ. She's going to share her knowledge with you. She's already sharing lots with us. And I guess one of my questions would be, is there like a dream project that you have that you want to do one day, or a dream? Oof.
It's hard because I do my yearly planning and 10-year planning, and I wanted to be in the Silo Art Trail in the next 10 years, and the Word of Time project got actually added to the Silo Art Trail. So now I'm like, wow, maybe I'm dreaming too little. So I definitely would like to paint a whole silo, like 25 meters tall silo, by the end of the 100 mural project. So that's just a dream, just to call it done. That type of projects are not fun to paint. They're all project management and very little painting in the scheme of things, but I just kind of want to see it and be like, wow, I really did that. And that's that. And then I would like to start doing this on a global scale. I have students in every corner of the world. I want to visit and paint with all of them. I think I would really like to do collaborations. That's something I'm really itching more for.
That's awesome. Yeah, I could see it, eh? Like some city in the world, and you just get everyone come to this one place and paint it up, paint the town. This is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the Six Phase Meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating your future 3 years out. So where is PJ 3 years from today?
Where's PJ Star? I hope to have a baby, and I hope still to be painting. just very large projects, and you know, be that mom that my kids, when they'll be able to say my mom is an artist, and just be the most normal thing in the world, you know, and just keep having a beautiful artist community that I'm helping every day, really just keeping it nice and steady.
Brilliant. One thing I love that you bring is, like, and you said it a couple of times, that you just kind of started and this is what's happened, and the idea about, you don't need permission. You can just go and do what you want. And if you have it in your heart, don't listen to everyone else. Follow your dreams and do it. And you're just the proof of how it works. And like, I think what happens is sometimes we have dreams, right? And they're so big that we're like, that's not for me. You know what I mean? But you're the proof. Like, yeah, just go and get it and see what happens.
So it really is. And then, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can really happen? You just go back to a normal job. There's so many of them out there waiting for applicants, you know, like you can't. It's good to be a little bit prepared, but just do it. Just, I didn't want to get a mortgage and make babies and not give myself a real opportunity to at least try to do what I love. Like, it's just, at least if you start, you just need to start. You don't need to aim to be a full-time artist. You don't need to aim to paint a silo. If you like painting, get your first mural, because it's the best way to make money without. It's a bigger canvas. You know, just paint one, see how you feel. Maybe you're going to get a second one. You can still have a job, a safe job while you do that. It doesn't have to be a full leap. That's what I'm saying. But if you take a direction, the path will appear. And that always happens.
Definitely. And I find, like, too, where to try and plan the whole thing, it doesn't work. You can only take one step, right? Martin Luther King Jr. said, take the first step in faith. You don't need to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And what happens along the way is, like, there's stuff you don't know, right? So you can plan for things. But there's also parts where you didn't expect, you didn't know, that you didn't plan for. And that's where, like, exponential growth comes in, right? Because we plan things. But then there's also the parts we didn't plan for that also are like, oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. And so, yeah, just take the first step. That's why my company is called the Next Steps Academy. It's just, here's the next step. What's the very next step? That's all you can do. You can't do the other 10 steps. So
yep.
I'm so grateful for this conversation. I think before I ask my final question, is there anything you'd like to share about yourself, your business that maybe we didn't cover, some programs? I know you have a 6 week and other programs.
I have a 3 hour completely free mural beginner course on my website. This is all my knowledge and truth, honest feedback on my beginner mistakes. And it's there for anyone wanting to try murals, for anyone that has all those questions that I see the internet flooded with. I have examples straight out of my business, and I decided, even though it's very valuable and everyone, my business coach keeps saying it's crazy that I'm leaving it for free, it's there. Watch it. Make sure you love this first. And then if you do, and you do want to make a living out of it, I can help you after that. But first, make sure that you know what you're doing and that the resource, a super valuable resource, is there for free.
Brilliant. And my final question would be, how can people reach you?
Just Google Mural Nomad. I'm gonna pop up for sure. I'm all over the place, but you can follow my Instagram. I have two. One is mural underscore nomad, where you can see all my adventures and murals. And one is mural underscore mentor, where I'm now focusing solely on business tips, just to kind of keep them neat and separate. And yeah, I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok, I try to be on YouTube. So wherever you prefer, that's probably the best answer. Yeah, and my website obviously is www.muralnomad.au.
Beautiful. We'll put all those links in the show notes. And PJ, I'm so grateful for your time today. I really appreciate it. You have such a unique gift and I love it.
Thank you. This has been really, really fun. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast.